Let us pray. God, we give you thanks on this Sunday. You come to us through the Word. And so as I stand here to proclaim your Word, use your humble servant to speak thy Word. We ask of this in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't judge the gift by its wrapping paper. It's something that we've heard a lot of time. Don't judge the book by its cover. Don't judge the guy by what he's wearing. But I think when we think about the story of Elijah, I think this fits perfectly. Because Elijah must have chosen the gift with the biggest wrapping paper. I mean, the brightest wrapping paper. It must have been in a big box, a huge box, filled with action. And once he ripped open the wrapping paper, and you always have to rip open the wrapping paper, we see nothing other than a not-so-great gift. If we had read the previous chapter in 1 Kings, we see the great story of how Elijah goes against the prophets of Baal. And he wins. And so he's opened this wrapping paper, and guess what? Queen Jezebel is after his head. You should never judge a gift by its wrapping paper. And so Elijah complains to God. What? I did all of this for you, and this is the gift that you give me? I mean, you want me dead? Is that what you want? I thought this gift that you were giving me was a reward for all my services, for going against 300 prophets of idols, and this is the gift that you have for me? Elijah complains to God. But God says, hold on. I have something for you. Because as the greatest gift of all, I am going to pass by in front of you. Imagine this. God is going to pass by you. Now, I grew up in Thailand. Thailand is a very famous country for its tourism. Thailand is a very famous country for its weather, for its beaches. But Thailand is really famous for having one of the three longest reigning monarchs in the world. The Thai king, I don't know how old he is very, very, very old. And he is very well respected in Thailand. And it is an honor for the Thai king to just pass by you. Now, when the Thai king passes by you, everyone bows down. Not because they're told that. I mean, there's no law that says that. They don't do that because the police make them do that, but they do that because that's the respect that they have for the king. Now, I don't know if I can say this is kind of similar, but what I can tell you is that when Elijah heard that God is going to pass by you, this was the answer that Elijah was looking for. Because Elijah was saying, where are you? Where are you? So God is saying, I am going to pass by you. And so Elijah wraps open the first wrapping paper. There's winds everywhere, gusting everywhere. God's not there. So Elijah opens another wrapping paper, rips it open, and it's an earthquake. And the earth is trembling. Now, I've never been in an earthquake, but I've been to Universal Studios where they have the earthquake simulators, and it's pretty crazy. But after ripping that wrapping paper, God's not there. And so now, there's one last wrapping paper. And maybe Elijah was a little concerned. So he doesn't tear it open, but he opens it silently. Takes the tape off. He becomes very, very careful, like a lot of you. I know Gloria does. And the Bible says Elijah had to bow down. He couldn't see the face of God. Well, some of you probably know this story very well. I know this story very well. I've used it many, many times for many, many different purposes. I say, when kids get too rowdy, I always preach on this. And I said, God was in the silence. In the silence. So stay silent. It will pass by. But as I was thinking about this lectionary passage, I was thinking there's something not right. There's something not right. Because my understanding of God is that God is everywhere. God is in the silence. But was God really not there in the earthquake? Was God really not there in the winds? Was God really not there when Elijah was saying, God, where are you? Now, this is a repeating story that takes place over and over and over in the Old Testament. When the floods come, when the rains come, they're saying, God, where are you? And for 40 days, God chooses not to answer. When Moses leads the Israelites out of Egypt, they're saying, God, where are you? God, where are you? And it seems like God is maybe not there. We didn't read the psalm today, but the psalmist goes on that there are people who will say, where are you, God? Or even say that there is no God. But the question I want to ask is, was God not there? Was God not there? Now this week was a week when many people asked the question, God, where are you? God, where are you? God, where are you? I don't have to name all the events that took place. Every day as I read the news, I'm continually saddened. And maybe I too was like Elijah saying, God, where are you? I was reminded of a story, well, not a story, my own experience growing up. I grew up in a tradition where Sunday was a big deal. Sunday was a big deal. If you didn't go to church, I don't know. I just didn't want to imagine what could happen if I didn't go to church. I grew up in a tradition. My family never spent any money on Sunday because we thought that was a sin. Now, our family lacks as we went along, as we grew older. Maybe it was an educational thing for my parents to help myself and my sister to grow up honoring the Sabbath. But that way of honoring the Sabbath broke when I went to university. It broke very quickly, actually. I thought, I'm just going to choose not to go to church one Sunday and see what happens. And nothing happened. Actually, I kind of enjoyed it. I kind of enjoyed staying home. I kind of enjoyed playing video games. I kind of enjoyed ordering food. I kind of enjoyed spending money on Sunday. It's a good feeling. Nothing happened. God didn't punish me. So the next week I thought, I'll try it again. Nothing happened. And I said, third time's the charm. So I said, I'll do it again. Nothing happened. In fact, I was well rested. Was God not present? Was God not present at that time? I don't think so. Because God was present. God showed God's self to me in a very powerful way. After 3 months of not going to church, one of the pastors of the church that I had membership in but wasn't going just came up to me and said, "How are you doing?" I said, "I'm doing great. Not going to church is great." And he said, "That's good. I agree. Not going to church is great. You get to rest. You get to have fun. But Moses, I want to challenge you to come next week. I don't want you to come to church, but I want you to come to youth group. I just want you to come, hang out, be there for the kids." I said, "I'll do that." And I went. And I stayed. And I can't exactly explain what it was, but I wanted to come back. And those of you who are in youth group or youth ministry know that you really don't want to come back and be with the youth. They're stinky, they're noisy, they're rude, they are all of the above. But for some reason, I wanted to go back. And again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again. And to cut a long story short, that is why I'm here, standing in front of you. Because it was that time when I was spending with the youth that I enjoyed it so much, I decided after my 4 years in university, I was going to go to seminary. And every year, I look at that application that I first sent into my seminary. This is why I want to do an MDiv. And I said, I want to be there because the youth are important. And I want to be an advocate for those youth. Now that was almost 15 years ago. There really is no way of explaining how this happened, but I think God was there. That even in the stinky, smelly, noisy youth, that God chose to be there. In fact, God was everywhere. God was leading me in all those paths. Now, even if we just look at the story of Elijah, we have the 300 prophets. But just before that, 2 weeks ago, we read about how Elijah, God was with Elijah as Elijah supplied everyone with endless flour and endless oil. Now, we didn't read it that week, but right after, the daughter, the child, passes away. And God was with Elijah as a child was risen back to life. God was with Elijah when there was a drought and he had nothing to eat, and God sent crows to give Elijah something to eat. See, every time we think that God's presence is not there, God always reminds us that God's presence is there. I don't want to be here and say, you know, all those events that happened around the world, all those killings, well, you know what? God just allowed it to happen. I'm not here to say that. And I can't quite explain to you why that happened. But what I do know is that evil does not have the final word, because God's presence is there. And for all those people who did not choose, who chose not to believe that, God chose to send God's very own Son to show that God's presence is everywhere, walking with us, dining with us. We are in the spirit of Pentecost, the season of Pentecost. And the season of Pentecost is a reminder that God is choosing to be with us through the Holy Spirit. Being with us in this worship service, and being with us at home, at our workplaces, at Wonderland, even in Israel. This is my understanding, the final Sunday of spring. And I have been told that starting from next week, Moses is going to be 30 people, 40 people, 50 max. We're all going to go off to our cottages, to all different parts of the country. Maybe some of you are going abroad. I want to remind you that wherever you go, God will be there too. That God's presence will be there too. So I challenge you. Hopefully when you come back after your summer, you'll be like, Moses, I found God here. I found God here. I found the works of God here. And maybe with all these testimonies, we will have a great fall. Not just hearing about Hugh and his many testimonies that he has, but I look forward to speaking with all of you of how God's presence was present wherever you were in your lives. So in that, let us give thanks and let us pray. God, your presence is everywhere. We try to see God in some way. We think God is in some wrapping paper. We try to define God and in something. We try to limit God in the four corners of the church. But God, we're reminded that your presence is everywhere, your omnipresence. And even at times when we think we're doubtful of your presence, you continue to remind us that you are there. So God, we give you thanks. God, in the coming weeks, as we are traveling, as we are in our cottages, as we are in our hotels, as we are traveling, continue to remind us, just like you did to Elijah, that you are there. That in the midst of darkness and trouble, that you are there. We give you thanks and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.